Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Can you get your Bibles out this morning? It's lovely to be speaking. I want to talk into something today, which I think that is going to set the tone for the next 6 months. Because one of the things about getting to this time of the year, which is really important, we have a number of things go off my head. For those of us with children, it's easy to say. For those of us with children, we go, holy smokes, can you believe that the school year is done? Isn't that right? Anyone going, oh, holy moly, my wee baby is going into P3 and all the rest of it, and the other one's going to some other class. But, you know, the point is, you kind of go halfway, you know, they're all grown up, but you always judge it by the youngest one, because that's, anyway. And the thing is, right, I'm going, flip me, it is going just so fast. And I'm looking at the second half of the year for the church and going, there's absolutely no doubt that things are going to change in here. And you'll probably hear more about that as the summer progresses, if I come back from my holidays. I say that every year. If I come back, I'll talk to you again in August or whatever time it is, September, October. We should do MP's holidays. They're off to like November. And so we'll come back in November and chat to you then. But I want to speak into something today, which is actually really important. And I spoke into it a little bit, because the Lord's been speaking to me about it. And then the Lord happened to put me in line with a guy called Ray Bevan, if you remember that. And I was talking to you about that, and he's coming at the end of the year in December. And I was explaining to him my frustration at times, right, with preaching the gospel of grace. And we were talking about it as a group of pastors, so it was quite good about, you know, what it's like to do that and what it's like to start a church in grace and try to figure your way out through grace and all that kind of stuff. And he said that, from in his opinion, one of the things that's really interesting for people who, you know, it's almost like people will describe receiving grace almost like being saved again, right? I don't know what that was like for you. I know for me, growing up through all kinds of craziness through the church, all different phases and all different waves and all different sorts of stuff. And then you discover actually like a sense of, oh, thank God, Jesus loves me. Isn't that right? And actually, I start to be able to read the Bible and see things in the Bible that I've never seen before. And I start to understand the Bible and I start to understand Jesus more. And I can get up in the morning actually believing, setting aside my own stuff and actually believing that the Lord is good to me because he loves me, you know? And I that feeling of getting up in the morning going, it's all right, you've got it, Lord. And I'm going to screw it up today, that is for sure. But that doesn't really matter to you. You don't want me to screw it up because it brings stuff into my life. But is it going to make you love? Will you not bless me today because I make mistakes? And the Lord goes, don't be so stupid. I loved you first. And then you really start to get that into your heart. And you go, so then it really doesn't matter in any sense when I'm framing your love for me on the bit, you know, I can only frame your love for me on you and not on me. So Jesus, who he is and what he has done. Isn't that amazing? You just go, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. You are. I mean, what's so amazing about grace and all this? What is? It's just absolutely, independently, absolutely loved by the one who gave it all. And so then what happens is, particularly we can kind of go, and if we're not careful, grace can make you incredibly lazy. And laziness is not grace. And I really need you to hear this. And if you don't like what I'm just about to say, then you might like it if Pastor Prince says it to you and I'll send you the link. All right? And that's all. Oh, I didn't like that this morning, Pastor. You actually, okay, would you go ahead and listen to Joseph and see what he says? See if you like it any better, okay? Because I'm here sometimes, sometimes from the front, what I have to do is I have to bring the word, all right, and allow the word do what it does, which is transform us from glory to glory. Do you get that? And so I think this is an encouraging word, but for some of you, you might feel, I'm going to speak into the struggle that we feel, particularly when we've come into grace, we walk in grace, and some of the pitfalls that we need to be careful of. I'm going to take this week and next over it, actually. And so this morning, I want to talk about what it really means to rest under grace, because we talk about resting all the time, and there's some confusion around resting under grace. And, you know, there's some confusion about what that actually means, because for some people, it means you sit on your backside and you do nothing, and you let everyone else serve you, right? That's not resting under grace, that's being selfish, all right? Just to nail that one. Sometimes resting under grace means it's irrelevant what I do, not true. Your life is not your own, you were called with a purpose. The point of our lives is to receive Jesus, experiencing him, and then to serve him with everything that he's given us, isn't that right? Now the problem is under law, that gets tiring, but under grace, we have to learn how to do it a new way. But sometimes what happens is we just throw everything out because that was part of our old life. And now I've discovered grace, so it's all different moving forward. Do you get that? And the truth is somewhere in between, actually. And there's freedom in this for you this morning. Hopefully, is everyone going, oh, Gordon Bennett, what's he going to say? Or are you just distracted with my legs? Yeah, it's okay to be honest. I used to be able to knobble my knees. What do you call them when they move up and down? But now I just need them to stay in the same position. So don't keel over. Okay. So in Colossians 3:23, it says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I would love a glass of water if somebody would be so kind to get me a glass of water. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay, Colossians 3:23. So let me just say this today. Let me just paint you a picture. See whatever's going on in your world today. I really want you as your pastor to experience more of God's goodness. I want you to experience grace upon grace and glory to glory. Do you get that? I want you in your bodies, in your minds, in your whole existence, in your careers and in your homes, in your future plans, in every way that that works out. I really believe that Jesus revealed in your life and experiencing more of him and painting a picture. The picture that you paint in your mind, it might be I find a new partner. It might be that my family is restored. It might be that my body is better. It might be that I feel like I've got more peace and fulfillment. Whatever it is for you, there is abundant supply in Jesus' name. Amen. So paint that picture. But I want you to see something that, you know, wait, just because that is the Lord has said that and that's his heart, but being under grace does not mean that you do nothing, right? Don't mistake being diligent in God's work, which means working with all your heart, as we think Paul was writing in Colossians here, as being under the law. The two things are not the same. And what's really interesting about grace is that it frees us to be diligent with what the Lord's asking us to do. It doesn't free us to be selfish. And what we need to understand is the moment that we get saved, all right, for once and for all, we are perfected forever. That is what the truth is. You will never be more perfect in God's sight. Thank you, Penny. And you'll never be more perfect in God's sight than what you are now. He loves you this way. Isn't it good to know that you're loved right now in this moment as much as you will ever be loved? Isn't that good? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't it awesome? You know, the problem is, for me, I hold these things in tension because the thing is, I haven't quite won the battle with my flesh. I don't know about you. Anyone done that? If anyone going, I think I pretty much nailed that. Was it 84, darling, or 85? Was the bit where that kind of just walked past the fleshy bit? Okay, if that's you, all right, come and preach the rest of this sermon for me because I don't feel like I've quite got there yet. I don't know about you, right? And what I need in my life is I need to know how the Lord leads me because where he leads me, under grace, he leads me to freedom and fullness. But where I listen to my flesh and my own selfishness, it ends up in sin, sickness, and defeat. And I need to learn to distinguish between the two because I'm not the finished article yet. And hearing from the Lord and being led by the Spirit of the Lord into grace is what is the key. Because quite often what I find with people under grace is they are just lazy. Flat out lazy. Because, brother, I just don't feel Jesus asking me to make coffee this morning. Really? Just not feeling it? No, you're being lazy. Now, I have been super nice, Pastor, up until now, but see, if I come back from my holidays, all right, I will love you hard, but you're not going to sit in your backsides as part of this family and just say, I'm under grace, brother. That would mean you all kind of turn very camp, and I don't know why that is, but you know what I mean? My other voice that I hear in my head is quite camp. I just apologize for that, but it is what it is, and I'm not going to change it, all right? And so how do you know when the Lord's leading you, and how do you know when you're just being selfish? Because see, grace upon grace in your life, it's never rooted in self. You don't get more grace looking after you. You get more grace with your eyes on Jesus. You get that? He is grace. He is grace himself. So the only way to receive more grace is to get your eyes lifted up to see him. And if you've been struggling to go, oh, Lord, I'd just like to see more and I'd like to see this, and I'm really struggling with this, you know what? Get your eyes off yourself this morning. Lift them up to the King of Kings. Because grace is not a gateway to just, you know, let me say this. Grace is not just not the gateway where you create something which serves you. It's actually about creating something where you get to co-labor with the God of heaven to reach this whole world with the amazing love of Jesus. And I promise you in that, it's the up. There's a guy who I can't remember anything else that he said in his whole life, probably because I blocked most of it out. But there was one thing he said preaching in my really old church. He said, the kingdom of God is upside down. It's the upside down kingdom. Self is a bottomless pit. And selfishness is a bottomless pit which will never be satisfied. You will always be hungry, always disappointed with God and with others, always framing things about what it means for you. It's a bottomless pit. But actually, the upside down nature of grace is the more I find myself seeing Jesus revealed, the more I'm equipped to actually be diligent. And diligence is not law. Diligence is, as I've received, therefore I flow. Do you get me? Now, I promise you on the other side of that, there is breakthrough and freedom and release, because that's the way the Lord works, all right? And some of us just need a wee bit of a, well, you're all looking at me quite serious this morning, right? In for a penny, in for a pound, all right? I honestly believe this. Can I just tell you from my own experience of leading a church, is that through years and years and years, Penny and I have worked diligently. And I'm not afraid to say that. We've worked incredibly diligently at times. Sometimes fleshly, sometimes led by the Spirit, and I know which one I prefer. But one thing we've never done is just sat back and said, God, you know what? You know, Jesus, if you want church this morning, you'll be there to open the doors. Somebody actually said that to me a couple of years ago. Well, if Jesus wanted the chairs put out, he'll send someone. And I was like, here, run that by me again. Are you mental? All right, it's like, seriously? Oh, well, Jesus will send somebody. What do you think he's sending you? Just to go play, go crazy for a minute, you know? Do you get me? All right, so under grace, how do we know how God leads us? This is Pastor Prince said this a few weeks ago. It was absolutely brilliant. It really struck me because it was so beautiful in its simplicity. But he said, under grace, the Lord leads you by three things, his word, his spirit, and with godly counsel. All right? So the Lord leads us through his word. The Lord says in Isaiah 48, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. So whatever you're looking for today, the Lord has wisdom for you. Where? In his word. He leads you from his word and he leads you by the preaching of his word. You know, the first thing that we come to church for is not to worship, it's to listen to the word. And you know, here's what's really bonkers, right? We kind of do it, the order that we do it is interesting because it's about preparing our hearts, but the people gathered in the old and in the new to hear the preaching of God's word. And here's, you know, to the world, it's bonkers. Why would you sit on a Sunday morning listening to me in my shorts talking about Jesus? It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? What is foolishness to the world is God's designed way. Of course, it's foolishness on the outside of things, but that's the way God's designed it. Faith comes by hearing the word. And by the Paul says, like, the cross is foolishness, preaching is foolishness, but in that, I labor because that's what God has designed. So you sitting here, Penny was absolutely right. You sitting here this morning under the word of grace means that your heart is being changed this morning. Do you realize when you walk out of here, there's a deposit in you made this morning, which you would not have received by sitting on your backside reading the Sunday Times, all right? Or the Sunday Life, depending on highbrow or not you are, all right? But do you get me? There's a deposit made in you because when the word comes, the word does its work in your life and you receive. And so he leads you by the word. And whatever you're facing today, the Lord has wisdom from you. In Joshua 1:8, it says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Good success. Listen to Isaiah 48 says, you know, the word teaches you to profit. In Joshua 1:8, it says it's good success. So notice that God said, look, this book, God's book, you know, he didn't say, you know, the book that sits kind of on the shelf or the book that you read every now and again. What he said is when you actually get into the written word, God teaches you to profit. And when you listen to me, many of us are walking around going, I want to hear what God is saying to me. Well, can we do this? Well, I don't know. I have to hear what the Lord says. You won't hear what the Lord says unless you're in the written word. Do you get that? He speaks to you from the written word first. And then the Spirit of the Lord brings to remembrance all these words that he has spoken to you. Like, let's get the order of things right, folks. Let's not be crazy grace people, right? And we're not crazy grace, but let's not go down that line. If it doesn't really matter if the Lord wills it. No, he says, go to the word. Remember when the two what do you call them people who are disciples who were with Jesus, all right? No, them people who hung about with Jesus for a while, right? They're walking away from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. They're feeling down and depressed. Help me out. If I miss out words this morning, just chuck something in and make it up yourself. So what happens is they're walking along the word, and what does the Lord do? When he appears to them, he's hidden himself. So he doesn't come along and say, "Hi, I'm Jesus, let me speak into your ears." He opens up the word to them, and going right back to the prophets the whole way through, he reveals what? He reveals himself to them. And what happened in their hearts? Their hearts burned. Okay, if you need a burning heart, all right, go to the word, because in the word, as you receive the word, it's for profit. There is always profit in your life when you read the word of God. Do you get that? Always. Because the Lord says, these words will cause you, they're there for your profit. And then he says, not as P-R-O-F-I-T, not profit as in, okay? And the second one is, Joshua 1:8, it will cause you to prosper and be successful. God's word is life and health. His words are life and health. And so their hearts burned whenever God, Jesus revealed himself the whole way through. And sometimes in Grace, when we're, because you know what? What's it going to be like when we have 300, 400, 500 more people in this church? Are you even thinking that way? Because we're going to have a whole lot of people going, well, actually, just to feel like, you know, here we go. Like, yes, Lord, I want our church to grow. I want us to be a church of influence. I want more people under grace. As I've received, I would love more people to do that. But you know what? I want everything to change, but everything just to stay the same. Let's get real. It's not what happens with change. You know, and I have been exposed to grace churches around the world where people are diligent in their work for the Lord. Not under law, but under grace. And so I'm trying to prepare you not just for, you know, do you know what? Penny and I are super blessed. Honestly, we're super blessed. But as he's done it in me, so do it. I want him to do it in you. Honestly, to do it in you. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to say, Lord, there are times where I need to hear your spirit speak to me. But it's very hard to hear the spirit of the Lord if you're not in the word of God. Because he leads you from his word. Is that okay? Don't skimp. Don't fast food the word of God. Don't do it, because then when things get difficult, you know, many of us want to hear God's spoken word. What do I do here? What do I don't there? But what we don't realize is that we need to open the word of God, because he speaks from his word and from the preaching that you get here every Sunday. It's good to read every day, even when you don't feel like it, because when you open the word, God speaks. So what happens is you open the written word and you hear the spirit of God speak to you. Now, is that making sense to you? It's really simple stuff, but so profound. Actually, what you'll find time and time again is the most simple stuff is the most difficult thing to do. The most difficult thing to do. But when God speaks to you, it'll always be for your profit. When he teaches you to profit, you'll profit not just in every, I mean, it'll not just be a little bit of profit, it'll be overabundance in every area of your life. Your family, your social life, your health, your career, everything. Everything will be brought to profit when you're found in his word. So grace does not free you from the word. Grace drives you to the word so that you see Jesus and your heart burns. Because otherwise, what will your heart burn with? Do you hear me? And Penny said it this morning. As we've looked at Jesus, our hearts have changed. When I look at Jesus, my heart has changed. Secondly, quickly, the Lord leads us by his spirit. You know, what's really interesting is what happens when we're led by his word and his spirit? What happens then is when the Lord starts to speak about lots of things to you. And it's a bit like a picture of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, the outer court was a place where it was really busy. I think I might have mentioned that I was in Israel once or twice. And you kind of go to where the temple is, and it's massive, right? It's absolutely huge. And there would have been loads and loads of stuff going on. But in the inner place, in the Holy of Holies, it was absolutely peaceful and still. It was still, it was peaceful, it was perfect, it was absolutely calm, all right? And that is an absolutely beautiful picture of what it's meant to be like under grace. On the outside of things, we can be diligently about the Lord's work, but on the inside, we have absolute peace and rest, okay? I have seen the Lord really work in our business outside of church for the last number of years, like super working in that business for us. And it's interesting sometimes when people look at it, they go, well, that's really brilliant, because you just say the Lord's really blessed us, not understanding how much work we do because the Lord has blessed us. Do you get that? And sometimes I realize that I need to be more careful because I say, yeah, no, we're just super blessed. But you know what? We're super blessed, but every day I have to apply myself and be diligent with what the Lord has given me. Sounds really, really basic, right? It's not just, oh, grace is grace, and I can sort of wander through, all right? Doing a bit of what I fancy because the, no, stop, right? When we're serious about going from grace to grace and glory to glory, you know what? It's not just about us and how we're blessed. It's about stewarding what we have so that other people walk behind you and underneath, all right? So that takes big men and women in the kingdom of God to carry in the sense of what God has given them. And you have to be honest with yourself this morning. Go, am I really up for that, or am I just going to consume? And if you just want to consume, you're going to, at some point, you're going to run out of steam. You're like feeding a fat baby. You know, I used to be amazed sometimes, you know, with our kids. Like, you know, the way you kind of feed them, they've got big fat faces when they're wee. You know, aren't they lovely? Like, I love them, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But you know, there's a point where, like, one, I don't know which one it was. Was it the middle one? And Hopey. You know, you just keep feeding this child, right? And she's a wee thin thing now, but she's a wee fat, chubby thing. And going, at some point, this child's going to poke. We're giving her really good stuff, but she just keeps taking it in, isn't that right? It's like, oh, feed me another. And I'm going, flip me. I think you're going to poke everywhere here. You know what I mean? It's like you keep eating good, keep eating good, keep eating good. At some point, you go, oh, right, enough's enough. Do you ever get like that? You have, it's like, is it too much of a good thing? I don't mean that. I just mean it sometimes. Like Ray said to me, we've got to certainly let our sponge soak into the bucket of God's goodness and God's grace, but we've got to pick it up and squeeze it out. Why? Because when we squeeze it out, what do? We make room for more. But some of us want it all completely soaking, and we're not prepared to squeeze it out. So we've got to be prepared to squeeze it out and to allow the Lord to fill us with more. Because remember, glory from grace to grace and glory to glory doesn't mean you get stuck here. It means you say, Lord, as you've given me, I'm going to serve and pour out and be diligent about the kingdom, diligent about the call of grace. And just as I'm doing that, what's the Lord doing? Pouring in, pouring in, pouring in more. The more is here, it comes through you to be squeezed out. Isn't that lovely? But some of us just go, I'm full, thanks very much. The problem with me being full is I just start to feel a bit sick. I just start to feel a wee bit bulky. Is this okay? The outer courts were really, really, they were bustling with activity. They were busy. But the inside, the Holy of Holies, was still in peaceful and perfect calm. In Thessalonians 3:10, it tells us we're not meant to do nothing, to be inactive, not to work. Even the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace, said, if anyone won't work, neither will he eat. Isn't that? Like, that's the Apostle of Grace saying, if you don't work, you won't eat. Why? Now, if that feels law to you, can I just say, this is where the Lord's stretching you to grow up a little bit. I'm not going to excuse the word because the word speaks for itself, but you need to grow up. And say to the Lord, if in my heart still that feels legalistic to me, well, the issue's not the word, the issue is you. So that's by, but isn't that brilliant? And you can come to the Lord under his grace and say, but you love me still. Isn't that brilliant? Under law, you go, oh no, I don't measure up. Oh. Under grace, you come and he goes, yeah, this is what my word says. This is where you're going to grow into. You know, if my kids were still, you know, eating with their hands, it's really cute when they're 18 months, right? Wouldn't be so cute this afternoon if we go out for lunch. You know, and Ben sitting there at 15, doing this. You know what I mean? Sophie still does that, okay? I mean, Sophie is the dirt magnet in our house. You know where she sits in the kitchen? She has the same seat because the wall beside her at the kitchen table is just completely covered. How it gets up there, we don't know, but I am sick cleaning it and painting it. You know what I mean? It's kind of cute. I'm hoping by the time she's 7, she's going to grow out of that, but who knows? Okay, but certainly when you're 27, it's not okay. What would you do? Like, seriously, just picture, wouldn't it be hilarious if you were sitting beside somebody today at lunch and they were just going, just spitting it and all that. But you'd be going, like, what is your problem? Let's not do the same spiritually, right? Let's not do the same spiritually. Let me go very quickly. The third thing then is, because I think what I'm trying to say is rest is not inactivity. It's spirit-directed activity. So sometimes you will find that you get, when you're reading the word, or even just you hear the Spirit of God, he prompts you in a certain way. And can I just say, the flesh will always fight against grace in your life. If we can just be big and grown up about this and stop making excuses at times. To go, there are times actually when the Spirit of the Lord says, go and do, go and say, go and give. Does everyone understand that? Yeah? And we go, don't know whether I can be bothered. You get me? Or is that just me? Because sometimes I can't be bothered. I kind of just be really honest. But I go, that is my flesh. My flesh still needs put to death at times. Because I'm not on the other side of glory yet, working it, walking in the fullness thereof. So there's this thing within me that goes, I need to listen to the Lord. And if the Lord says it's good to give, and I feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, give, then I give. If the Lord says, go and serve, but I go, I'm exhausted, all right? I'm tired, but you feel the prompting of the Lord. You can be busy on the outside and peace on the inside. Is everyone going, yeah, I get this? What I'm asking you to do is to build into your life under grace the grown-upness of understanding what is flesh and what is spirit and dividing the two correctly. Because one is a path to life and one is a path to death and defeat. One is a path to selfishness and one is a path to you experiencing more and more of God's grace. Being squeezed out feels like you're going empty, but in the squeezing, he's pouring in, pouring in. And some of us are stuck. You know, the bottom line is some of us in this church even are stuck because we're full. Because you can't not sit in this church. We preach some unbelievable stuff. And even over the last month, as I listened to other people preach, they have fed you so well, honestly. And you've got a real treat coming through the summer as well. Really gifted, anointed people. We are overloaded in this church with people who can preach the word of grace. Do you know that? We're so blessed. Honestly, sometimes I've gone and listened elsewhere and gone, flipping heck, all right? But you're fed week after week after week. I just feel the Lord going, okay. Don't just get busy for busy's sake. Be in my word. I will prompt you with what my word says and then do it. And in doing that, that spirit-directed activity, you'll never be knackered. You'll never be knackered. You'll never be done out. It's probably why I'm here after 10 years, truthfully. It's because I know that I know that I know. At times the Lord speaks and everything within me goes, no. I can make all the excuses under grace. I know grace inside out. I have read the books. I'm writing the book, all right? But I know that I know that I know that when I hear the Lord and he speaks to me, what is it for? My flesh says no, but he says it's for your profit. And our God's not a liar. He's not a liar. Ooh. It's all gone very quiet in here. Looking at me with that tone of voice. Who says that? I said, well, don't look at me in that tone of voice. The third way that the Lord leads you is this, is with godly counsel. Many times we want God to speak to us directly. But do you know what the Lord wants as well? And this is why church matters. And it's so countercultural to the spirit of the age, is that he wants you to humble yourself and be open to hear from your church leaders. Oof. Oh, don't be saying that. God uses people, leaders in your church. He'll use your life group leaders, as an example. He'll use me from the front. He'll use other people to help you, to lead you, to teach you. When you're going through stuff that's difficult, here's what the principle in the word is, under grace. All right? Consult your leaders and godly counsel. And that helps. Let me just give you some examples. Even the wisest man who ever lived, after Jesus, was Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 4. What do we know Solomon for? The temple, for sure. But what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. That's brilliant. What does he do after he asks for wisdom? See, oh, I've received. I asked for wisdom. The Lord gave it to me. What's the very next thing that he does? The wisest man that ever lived. And what did he do? I'm going to see the word in its whole. Okay. Read on. The first thing he does after receiving wisdom is that he surrounds himself with wise men. Now, why on earth would you do that if you're able to receive yourself wisdom upon wisdom? Isn't that interesting? We do this with grace. I don't need grace, therefore I don't need other, because the Lord will show me. And if I don't feel that the Lord's showing me, and I don't feel like it's, well then, no, stop. Just stop for 1 minute. That's why there's protection under the shadow of his wings in the local church. Because he says, come into this place and surround yourselves with wisdom and with godly leadership. Not perfect leadership, godly leadership. Not leadership that never gets it wrong, but leadership that's appointed by God. Why? Because he is, you know, see when I mess it up, he's your ultimate protection. Don't believe the lie that you do better outside of church. God has ordained church. Church is not peripheral to the world, right? Church is the very center. He designed it that way. No disrespect to any other ministry, but Jesus is the head of the local church. The church universal, but you cannot have a relationship universal. The church universal simply describes your relationship with God. The church local describes your relationship with God manifested to each other. Can we just nail these sacred cows this morning? To go actually in the church. So I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about leaders that we have through this place. If we look at, you know, the Hebrew, if you want the Hebrew for that, is the word is Zakar, Z-A-A-K-R. And these were men who would record whatever happened in the courts, and they would remind the king of these things. So what it was is these wise men were rememberers. You see how the Spirit of the Lord operates in the New Covenant today? He will bring to your remembrance these words that were spoken. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. That's why you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, because when you read the word and you put the word down and you walk into your life, then what happens is the Holy Spirit speaks to you about those moments and goes, remember what my word says. When you're feeling, oh, he goes, no, you're loved. When you're feeling, oh, he goes, no. You understand that? Okay, so that's what Zakar in Hebrew is. And so Solomon, the wisest man, you see, I see this time and time again. I have relationships in my life where I have to submit and I choose to submit. Do I like it all the time? No. Do I do it? Absolutely. I'm talking about Pastor Marcel. I'm talking about Josh. All right? We do it mutually. Why? Because I believe in the anointing of God in their lives. Are they perfect? No. All right? No, they're not. Marcel, you are perfect, all right? He lies in bed and listens to me, okay? So you roll over, Marcel, and go to bed knowing that you are perfect and loved, all right? That's my wee nod to him, all right? And he says it helps him get to sleep. I'm not sure that's a good thing, is it? Now, this will wake you up. Oh, you're not that perfect. So, but what happens for people like me is I had to seek it out and go, where are those people and those people around my life that God has put me around, where I get to go along and say, you know what, you've given me godly counsel. Do I like what they have to say all the time? Definitely not. It's not all flipping giggles and tee-hee and laughing when you're in ministry. It's far from it. Hard, tough conversations that many of you would walk away from and be offended for the rest of your days. I promise you that. I'm just giving you a little behind the curtain of my world, all right? I can stand up here and laugh and giggle and get on, but I have to willfully submit myself to the people that God has brought into my life. Men who love the Lord, are they perfect? No. Do I feel frustrated at times? Absolutely. Do I love them with all my heart? 100%. And it's that mutual thing of going, but that's how I'll be better. Because I can ask the Lord for wisdom. I can ask the Lord under grace for everything. But you know what? He gives me people. He's given you us. I'm not perfect, you know what? But I'm anointed by the Lord for you. And I'll hear the Lord and I'll speak to you. And the Lord will lead you through his word, through his spirit, and through godly counsel. Now, that's how you're, and what I'm trying to say is under the word, under the spirit, and under godly counsel is where you find rest. It's where you find rest. Because if you ignore the word, all bets are off. You don't listen to the spirit. And if you choose to not submit, whatever. I have found that through our journey of leading church, that people who refuse to submit, and submission is a bad word in the world today because it's counter the spirit of the age, but submission to godly authority is a place of safety, protection, and freedom every time. The flesh hates it. The flesh will fight against it. The flesh will give you a million reasons under grace. Solomon, under, I've got wisdom, I've got grace. And the Lord says, but you know what? How do you find rest? Sometimes you'll find it with godly counsel. Oof. Do you like that or not really? Whether you like it or not, it is the word. Again, go and listen to Pastor Joseph, because everyone loves it when he says it. I'm trying to encourage, I'm going really slow today. Is this okay or am I too slow? Do you know why? Because this is a biggie. I actually feel in my gut right now, this is a biggie. This is breakthrough, proper breakthrough for you. All right? This is proper getting through to the, it's not over. Cast your net on the other side. It's not over, okay? Lovely to sing it, but let's walk into it. And it doesn't have to be hard. Do you know the hardest thing under grace is nailing the flesh, is letting go of you and what you think and your preference to say, Jesus, show me you every time. Every time from your word, I'll hear your spirit. I'll surround myself and willfully submit. There's a beautiful thing in submission. But if your heart is hard to go, I don't need it because I've got grace, then you need to go back to the Word. Let me just give you two others. Isn't this interesting? Have you ever heard of a guy called the Masai? Ah, isn't it brilliant when you get to the Word and you actually start to look at this stuff? There's a Bible guy in the Bible called the Masai. He's one of the mighty men. And God called him a mighty man. Why was that? He pledged himself to his king, King David. You can read about him in 1 Chronicles 12. Then the Spirit came upon a Masai, chief of the captains. And he said, we are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Isn't it interesting? Okay? Even Jesus himself submitted. Going back to when he was 12, he wasn't preaching. He was listening to the rabbis and asking questions. It was kind of behavior fitting of a 12-year-old sitting there in his place. And then his earthly parents came to him and he followed them, being subject to them, it says. And in the Bible, it says he increased. So we go, whenever Jesus and his parents come and his parents say, come on, what did Jesus do? Oh, do you not know who I am? Here I am with the rabbis and the smart people. He went, there's the authority that God has put over me for my safety and for my protection. So he's subject to them. And what's the next bit? There's a whole lot of read the next bits here. And it said, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, Luke 2:52. So we want to see the increase. We want to see in wisdom and stature. We want to increase in favor with God, yeah? In the sense of living it. Have a look at what the Lord did. The last one is this, Esther. Here's another one. She submitted to Haggai. She was under his care. And she told him she didn't want to do anything except what he recommended. And she found great favor with the king. And you can find this in Esther chapter 2. So what I'm trying to say is this, is there will be rest and favor on your life whenever you're in the Word, you let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you about what's in the Word, okay? And when you're in the Word, you do what he prompts you with, because that's not busyness. That's just listening to the Lord, all right? Busyness on the outside, peace on the inside. And the third way I'll speak to you is godly counsel. Don't do the opposite of Solomon, who after Jesus was the wisest man in the world. After having received wisdom, he surrounded himself with the wise. After having received grace, surround yourself with those who have found grace. Because there's counsel and wisdom and leading in that. How's this going down this morning? Are you hearing? Honestly, it's in my spirit this morning to go, these next 6 months, our breakthrough is in this. I believe it. Honestly. We're going to be squeezed out for the sake of the gospel. But we're not going to be undone. We're not going to be tired. We're not going to be exhausted. But we're going to go past, okay? And we're going to start. Notice I haven't said words like balance, you know? There is no balance. There is grace and grace alone, okay? We don't preach balance. What we do is we say, Lord, show me your word and help me to be diligent. Because diligence is not the law. If it was the law, then Paul was a complete schizophrenic. How could he write one thing and then write the other? So we have to see the balance in between. Let me just finish with something. You're looking at me. Oh, yeah. So in rest, let me just say this, that there is humility before you enter into rest and grace. And humility is just the willingness to submit, learn, and accept correction. In Romans 6:14, it says here, you're not under grace. You're under grace. Sorry, you're not under grace. No, hopefully we are. Yes, you are under grace and not law. When you're led by the Spirit, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For your, remember, sin is what? What's the root of sin? Self. All right. Just make it really simple. The root of sin is self. So you shall not. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law but under grace. Romans 6, Galatians 5. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So if you're worried, let me just help you with this. If you're worried that what you're doing is about being under the law, here's how you can effectively know that you're not under the law. And that's if Galatians 5:18 says, if you're led by the Spirit of the Lord, right? So it's not true that if you're working, then you're under law. When you're working out of being led by the Spirit, you're not under law, but you're under grace. Do you hear me? So when the Spirit of the Lord prompts you and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you and you then have to do something, that is not law. That's being led by the Spirit. Do you understand that? Galatians 5 and Romans 6. Because sometimes when we feel it, we go, oh, that's law. No, it's not. If the Spirit of the Lord is prompting you to do it based on what his word says, then that's not law. So Because the difference is this, okay? Grace is God supplies, but law is God demands. And you have to meet that demand with your own effort. So there's two ways that you're able to do things this week. Let me just give you something practical before we finish. You can feel demanded from and feel stressed out. That's one way. Or you can be conscious of God supplying into your life the means to do everything that he prompts you to do. Supplying you with the wisdom, supplying you with the energy, supplying you with everything that you need. Notice that in both scenarios, you're both working. Do you get that? There's stuff going on, but your inner posture as you work is the thing that places you under grace or under law. It's your inner posture. So you can be working and stressed out and all the rest of it, or you can be really conscious of God's supply for everything that he prompts you to do. I have found that in my business particularly and in church, that even though at times when I let my head go to a place, the demand can seem overwhelming, right? I've said this to you before. When the demand seems overwhelming and I feel like I'm carrying something, I say, Lord, I'm not conscious of your supply here. And I feel it, right? The difference is I feel it. So you know what that means when you think about what you've got coming on, or the Lord says, actually, you know, why don't you commit yourselves to being in a life group? Because under the word, you're going to do well. Why don't you bring people to church that you've chickened out of asking so far? All this stuff. Well, do you know what? I'm under grace. So if it just feels a wee bit funny, I'm under grace. I just ignore that feeling. No. You hear what I've said to you this morning? If the Lord is prompting you, what I then have to say is, when I feel the weight of it, I go, Lord, I'm carrying something which I'm not meant to carry. So I need to turn to be more conscious of your supply for me right now. Be more conscious of your supply. So I turn not from the work, but I turn my eyes to Jesus, and my inner posture is one of peace and rest. And we're able to shift some unbelievable stuff when our posture is rest. You know, doing the church, doing the business, doing family, doing all sorts of stuff. And it's an unbelievable amount of work to anyone on the outside, but because our posture is one of rest, most of the time we walk through it and I haven't collapsed or fallen over. Do you understand me? Because when I'm conscious of his supply, then it moves me out of law and into grace. My inner state. My temple courts are buzzing, but my Holy of Holies is at peace and at calm. I'm just going to finish. I've got more stuff to say, right? But I'm going to, you know, I was going to ask questions. Like, if I feel like God's asked me to do something, is that not a demand? Is that not the law? Am I not feeling demanded? No, it's not. We get to co-labor. I'll talk about that next week. But just because you have to work hard at something and you have to apply yourself to something doesn't mean that you're under the law. Do not mistake diligence for being under the law. When you're led by the Spirit, you're under grace. Now, let me just finish. Why have I been saying this to you? I honestly believe that even over this summer, right, as we kind of all chill for a few weeks at some point, I honestly feel like when we get our heads around our holidays and all that sort of stuff. I think that for many of us, I have these questions all the time from people. Why am I not seeing? Why am I not seeing? Why am I not seeing? I've been under grace. Why am I not seeing? You know, as you say that, but I'm not seeing it. I go, okay, let me help you with that. One of the things that Penny and I have never been really brilliant at explaining is that turning up and showing up and being diligent around what God has called us for has led to blessing. Do you know that? Now hear me, not because we worked for it, but we heard the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? There have been many times I've wanted to walk away from this church and slam the door behind me. I'm just being really honest with you. Honestly. And I feel the prompting of the Spirit of the Lord to say, get your backside into that church or I'll slap a lug to you. Right? That's the way the Lord speaks to me. Probably 1,000 times in the last 10 years, I'm out of here. But you know how you keep going? People go, how do you keep going? How do you walk into the blessing that God has? It's rest for sure. But the rest is in the inside place. And I go, Lord, I hear you. And because I hear you and I turn to you and I see Jesus, then everything I need is right there. The strength, the headspace, whatever it is. Do you get me? And what happens when I do that, right? What have I just invested into my life? Another testament and experience of the goodness of God. I've gone from grace to grace. And so the next time I know that whenever I have those feelings, I just have to turn. I don't even at times need the Spirit of the Lord to come like quite quick. He just says, I go, oh no, I've been here before. I turn to the Lord and I receive all that I need. And then I walk, keep walking. Then I keep going. Amen? Resting under grace is not being lazy. It's being diligent, listening to the Spirit of the Lord. It's not no activity. It's Holy Spirit-directed activity. You know, probably sometimes on a Sunday morning, you might think, ah, sir, it's all right. I'll get here for 11:15. What does it really matter? It does matter. Does it really matter that I invite people or not? Yes, it does. You hear the prompt, because why? Because there's grace upon grace for you on the other side of that. The Lord is always saying to you, always leading you what? Remember the very first verse I used. He's always leading you for what? For profit. I love this. With this, I'm done. The profit is on the other side. You walk into it, you walk through it, you walk into more profit, and the whole way along, you're not tired or exhausted because it's not demand. It's like he told me to do this, and every time he tells me to do it, it's everything I need right there in that moment. That's grace, isn't it? I love it. Amen? I have probably spoken the quietest and the most deliberately that I have done in a long time because I really want this. I don't want you to be distracted. I just want you to... You know what I'm trusting in this morning? That the preaching of God's word does what it needs to do. I'm not pushing you. I'm not telling you loads of funny stories. I'm not trying to... I'm just kind of going, Lord, you're going to honor your word in people. And we're going to discover a rhythm because just say for one moment, just say for one moment that you and me, we're the ones that God has chosen to see this city and this nation turned around for the gospel of grace. Have a look around. Isn't that bonkers? Are you even believe? Part of me, I'd go, Lord, seriously, you'd need to be half crazy. But maybe, just maybe, he's going, absolutely not. I have chosen you. I have called you for such a time as this. Have a look around. And it's not going to be by your, you know, it's not going to be by strength, and it's not going to be by human effort. It's going to be by my Spirit, my power, my grace, and you resting in that and understanding that the rest is the inside place as you put your hand diligently to the work of building the kingdom of God. And I have a feeling in there, see the whole thing of youth being renewed like the eagles? See, in the natural, the more you exercise, the better you feel. We understand that in the physical body. I just felt the Lord say it's exactly the same in the spiritual. The lie is lie on your backside, lie on the sofa and drink wine and eat crisps, right? Doesn't it sound awesome? But see, after your second bag of Tesco onion rings, they're a cracker. You're picking them out of your teeth for days, right? Tesco onion rings, the best ever, green bag. I've only had one or two of them at a time, right? You know, a wee glass of whatever is your fancy. And you kind of go, that's really just what I need tonight. I'm just so stressed out, right? Isn't that the truth? But you always feel good when you go for your walk. Or you go into. Spiritually, the Lord's saying exactly the same. Spiritually, you will have more energy and excitement and life about you, okay? Not by resting on your backside and going, but he loves me. He does love you. But he wants to profit you. Amen?